Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and the phone number here, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or if you so choose, another way to get us your stories is quite simply, you email them. You record them on your smart device, and then email them over to Jenny, and that's another way to get your audio to us for sharing on the show. Her email is jenny at realghoststoriesonline.com. So there you go. Lots of ways of sharing those stories and experiences with us. It's also ways you can send us pictures, too, if you'd like to share anything spooky.
Yeah.
Super duper spooky. Getting ready for a new episode of Seeing Ghosts by the time this airs. I did get a submission in earlier today, and it's actually from some folks that reside in the general vicinity of where we're headed. We're going to be going to live in Branson here soon, and they are in Springfield, which is right there. And creepy photo. That's going to be in the next episode of Seeing Ghosts of a cemetery that has a lot of haunting stuff in it. I'm excited to go explore some of the stuff in that part of the country.
Sure.
There's a lot of it there. And they were like kind of sightseeing, ghost sightseeing, if you will. I took a picture in the cemetery. And it's what looks like you would guess maybe a woman by the attire of what you can see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's off in the distance a bit. And you can't tell if it's floating or hanging in the tree, or, yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
It almost kind of appears to be hanging in the tree, but it's hard to tell because of the perspective on the photo. But it's in a cemetery.
Either's not good.
No, neither is going to be good, but it's a creepy photo.
Yeah.
And it will be in the next episode of Seeing Ghosts, and then we'll have to go check out that cemetery when we get over there.
Sure. And some of the battlefields and everything.
Oh, yeah. All sorts of stuff. So I'm excited about all that. If anybody listens to the show that resides in the area of the country over there, please shoot us an email. Let us know some of the places to go and check out, because other than like the big sign for ghost tours that I've seen in their downtown area, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've heard of some. I mean, I can't recite them off the top of my head. I know we've had a lot of stories from there.
Mm-hmm.
But off the top of my head, I can't think of them. So I know the Hertz Donuts folks listen to us over there.
They do. And I have to say, our oldest, Olivia, was the only thing she was going to miss about Wichita. And then I explained to her, yeah, it's going to be a real long 30 minutes from our house to the Hertz Donuts in Springfield.
Exactly.
She was so happy. I think she can just leave Wichita and not care at all now.
It's interesting because the things that they were most concerned with when we're talking about going to another place was Hertz Donuts for her. Mm-hmm. And our other one was Sam's Club and Target.
Yeah.
So if that tells you of like the activities that are available in our current area, it's like there's some stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really flat and there's not much. I'm excited about that. And I reassured her that there's Target and Sam's Club.
In
the general, so they're going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be good. Let's go to our first caller of the day. It's Tony in California. Hi.
Hi, Tony. How are you? This is actually, my name is Tony, too, and I live in San Pedro, California, over here in the port of L.A. I'm calling to tell my story at my mom's house, my parents' house, I would say about 18 years ago. Anyways, when this happened, I was still living at my mom's, and I have two sisters and two brothers. And we were in my room watching TV because I'm the oldest, and I had the, you know, the bigger TV in my room. And we were watching some comedy show. Anyways, my brother, the youngest one, he used to be like our little waiter. We would send him, you know, downstairs to get us snacks and drinks while we were watching TV upstairs. Well, anyways, one of the nights when we were watching our show, we send him downstairs as we usually did. And a couple minutes later, he came upstairs running, and you know, he was all pale and scared. And we asked him, we're like, what happened? What's wrong? And he said that he had seen a little boy walking down the stairs. And we said, well, what did he look like? You know, what was he wearing? And he said he was wearing overalls and no shoes. So we, you know, he was the youngest, so we kind of like just blew it off and thought maybe he imagined it. And anyways, a couple years went by. And my girlfriend at the time, which is now my wife, was over visiting, and my parents were out of town. And again, we were in our room. I was in my room with her and one of my sisters, and we were watching TV again. And my wife, well, my girlfriend at the time, she went to the restroom upstairs. And when she came back, you know, she looked a little shocked. And not really scared, just, you know, just surprised. And she said she had seen a little boy, like, coming up the stairs and passed her to the restroom upstairs. So my sister right away, you know, looked at me and out, because we knew what was going on. And so we decided to ask, you know, we decided to go, you know, do our little ghost hunting. And we asked her, like, what was the kid wearing? And she said, overalls and no shoes. So, you know, when she said that, we were just, you know, it kind of freaked us out a little bit. And anyways, that was my story. And there were some other things that happened at my mom's house that I'll probably call back and tell the stories of those. But yeah, I think that was the biggest thing, because, you know, it was two different people at two different, you know, times that saw this, and you know, described the person exactly the same, or the ghost, whatever you would call it. Anyways, I love the show. Sorry, my voice sounds a little shaky. I'm a little nervous, but thank you for, you know, for the show, and say hi to Jenny. And I want to give a quick shout out to my daughter Itzel, that loves your show. She's 7 years old and she loves listening to you guys. Well, anyways, thank you, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
There you go. I said hi to her.
That's cool. I'm sorry for the bad language. We don't usually have listeners quite that young, but whatever.
There you go. just beep it for your children. That's why you listen to it beforehand, and then you just, when they're listening and you know where it's coming up, then you just start going, beep, really, really loud.
That always works.
And your children will never, ever pick up bad language if that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
My parents did. They still do it when they come visit. It's like someone says something and my dad just shouts beep really loud. It's really bizarre, especially when you're at kind of a quiet restaurant or something.
Okay.
And with me, I'm all the time. So yeah. It's odd.
I think I was 15 or 16 before my parents finally stopped telling me what words were bad words when we would watch a movie.
Oh, like you, like they were unaware that...
No, they were like, oh, bad words.
Did they ever say bad words?
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't apply to them?
No, I mean, it was just like if we were all sitting down trying to be a normal family and watch a movie,
mm-hmm.
they had to point out what words were bad.
Like, that's good. Okay. I'm glad, you know, you got that down.
Right.
I remember the other uncomfortable moment was watching television and if there was any sort of sex scene going on.
Yeah.
And my mom, especially when they're renting like a VHS, mm-hmm. you know, cassette, you know, some scene would be coming on and then there she is on the other side of the couch tapping, David, fast forward, David. And they'd fast forward through it. Don't want to see any nipplage.
Nope.
So there you go. Good times.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. I'm trying to think of like some. Although we didn't really watch many bad movies, so we were talking like PG movies, even if there was like remotely anything in there.
Yeah.
So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Debbie, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Debbie, and first off, I wanted to thank you for the podcast. I actually just came across it a few days ago while driving my usual route between Connecticut and Maine. So I thought I'd call in and share a story about my childhood home. So I'm from Connecticut, and growing up, my father actually had our home built. He had it built in 1984. So later that year, we moved in, and to this day, my family still is in this house. Anyway, we joke about the home. We kind of call it the Winchester House of Connecticut because over the years, my father has come up with more ideas for add-ons and additions, and so the house is always under some sort of construction or renovation. And there was, at one point during this time, I'd say probably about 1986 or 87, which was, at this point, the room I was using at the time was the room that my older sisters refused to take. And I never, I mean, being young, I was probably about 6 years old, I never really understood why they were so hesitant to be in that space. So it was kind of passed off to me. So it was the darkest room in the house, and now that I'm thinking about it, I can understand why my sisters had no interest or desire to be there. However, my younger sister and I were very, very close. And so she had her own bedroom, but she would oftentimes sneak into my room to sleep with me in my bed. And she also snored very loud. So I remember I would always sleep on my right side, and my sister would be behind me, and she would just snore away. So I always knew she was there. But this one night, I remember being uneasy just in general, and I went to bed, and then later on, my sister had snuck into my room, and so we snuggled up and went to sleep, and I remember this dream that I 30 some odd years later, I cannot forget this dream. I dreamt that my grandmother on my mother's side, who I'd never met, was in my bedroom. And she, in the dream, she was ironing a shirt, and the ironing board was right next to my bed. Again, this is all in the dream. The ironing board, in fact, was not in my room, but in the dream it was. She was ironing a shirt and looking down at me, sleeping and smiling. And so at first, the dream is harmless, and I'm thinking this is very nice if my grandma is visiting me in a dream. And suddenly, the dream took a very dark turn, and she just, with the same smile on her face, picked up the iron and went to put it on my face. So I woke up terrified from this dream, and I remember thinking, okay, I need to get out of my room because at that age, anytime I would have a bad dream or just get scared for whatever reason, I would carry my sister, and I would go into our parents' bedroom to go sleep with them. So that was my plan. I had woken up from this terrible dream, and I was going to pick up my sister and carry her into my parents' bedroom. So being young and kind of frozen with fear, I just kind of remember trying to figure out how I'm going to get her up and plot my escape. And I feel her snoring, and I could feel her breath on my back, so I was like, okay, she's there. I'm too scared at this point to turn around and get her. So finally, when I'm about to gather the courage to turn around, before turning, I look towards the closet of the bedroom, and I see standing there what looked exactly to this day, like to this day, if you would look at a picture of my grandmother, there was a woman standing there that looked exactly like my grandmother. And then I was beyond terrified. I don't even know what the word to describe the fear I felt is. So I started breathing very heavy, almost like I was hyperventilating. And all I'm thinking is, I want to run, but I can't run because I have to get my sister first. So very quickly, I turn around with speed in my turn just to grab her and go. And when I turned around, my sister was not there. Apparently in the night, she had already ditched me and went to go sneak into my parents' bedroom. So at this point, I wake up, I'm up, and I bolted out of the room screaming, because what hit me was not only did I see what I'm assuming is an apparition of what looked like someone like my grandmother, not only was that there in my room, but whatever was there was mimicking my sister. I mean, the snoring and the breath on my back was happening this whole entire time I was lying in the bed trying to process how to get her out of the room, just to find out she's not even in the room with me anymore. But what's compelling about this incident is that for years, up until even now, we have what is called a mimicking ghost or a mimicking spirit that is in our home. And so it takes on things that, for example, my father, he sings. And for years, when he would come home from work, everybody would know he'd come home from work because he'd walk in and he'd be humming or singing, and he'd take his keys out of his pocket and put it on the counter and go get his peanuts and pour some coffee and go and sit down and watch the news. He still does that. And there were at least two occasions for myself and several from my mother's viewpoint and my sister's, where we've heard the garage door open, my father come in singing or humming, take his keys out of his pocket, open the cabinet to get some peanuts. And so when I went downstairs to go say hello to him, there'd be nobody there. It also liked to mimic my mother. And the way it would mimic my mother was by calling our name. So if I had come home from one of my college courses in the middle of the day, or when I would skip school in high school to come home and do whatever I was going to be doing, I would hear my mother calling my name. And I would always get confused because I would skip school knowing that nobody was going to be home. But I would hear her calling my name, so I would hang my head down in shame to go approach her in her bedroom, and nobody would be in the house. So I just wanted to share that little story, and I have plenty more from the house in Connecticut that I'd love to share, but I'll do a call in another time. But thank you, and I look forward to hearing more of your podcast, and have a wonderful day.
I think it would be really hard to tell the difference between a mimicking ghost and what you might think would be just residual energy hanging around, if all it is a sound.
Mm-hmm.
A voice calling you from another room or something like that, that you know who it is, but they're not there. They're not even dead.
Well, it makes you wonder if it really is a ghost when it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it is some sort of residual energy or reflection or reverberation of whatever.
Sound waves.
Yeah, of sound waves, you know, that we may not scientifically have an answer for how it's happening, but it is. And then that is being misconstrued for paranormal activity. Now, granted, the dream and all that stuff that's in that mix, you know, kind of makes it a little more odd.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, but with what you're saying, if you take that dream out of the mix and if that wasn't part of the story, mm-hmm. you know, I think sometimes it's not always something ghostly,
sure.
so to speak. It's sometimes I think these things happen. We don't know why or how, but they do. But that's a lovely dream to have about your grandma of getting ready to iron your face.
No kidding. And she's thinking she has to save her sister, and her sister's already ditched her
yep.
and gone away to the other room. Gotta love siblings.
At least there's no wrinkles, you know? There you go. Use the iron and no wrinkles. You'll be all good. Thank you for that story. Thank you for sharing your experiences. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this thing we do called Real Ghost Stories Online, that's why we have our EPP options, where you can get all the bonus episodes of the show. We do a brand new one every single week for you. Also, there are exclusive video content and a whole lot more. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. Get all the bonus stuff. There's like nearly 100 bonus episodes up there now. And that's what keeps this thing on the air. Without you guys' support, without that, this show would not be able to go on. So if you like what's going on, consider throwing a little bit in the kitty there and allowing us to continue doing the show with you. Here's Mike in Texas. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? This is Mike from Cleveland, Texas, about 45 minutes away from Houston up north. Well, my ghost story it's really a paranormal story. It's a dream, but please don't disregard. This dream here started, I was in my grandmother's house in Mexico, and, well, in the dream, in real life, my grandma had already passed away. But my mother hasn't. My mother's still alive right now. But in the dream, it was all the way around. My mom was the one that had passed away, and my grandmother was the one that was alive. So, in the dream, I was sitting in my grandmother's room, you know, just reminiscing of my grandfather and my grandmother. Well, my mother in the dream, and I was just there, and out of nowhere, my mother walks in. And, I mean, I'm scared because she's supposed to be dead. She's not supposed to be alive. And I started screaming and shouting. And I started screaming out to my cousin and aunt in the next room, and they walk in. Once they walk in, they're happy, and they're happy to see my mother. Happy to see my mom, and well, I wasn't. You know, I was pretty scared. I don't know why they were happy to see her. And they just stayed there for about 5 minutes or so in the dream, and they left. They left me and my mom alone. And she was trying to talk to me, but I was just freaked out. I didn't want to talk to her at all. Then she just started staring at me. And, you know, I was real uncomfortable with the way she was staring at me. And I don't know what, she just jumps on top of me. She jumps on top of me, and she's holding me down. She's, you know, trying to choke me, trying to hold me down, and, I couldn't move at all, and I don't know what it took or what it was, but I gathered all my strength and pushed her off of me and pushed her onto the floor. And whenever I did that, I told her, I know you're not my mom. I know you're a demon. What's your name? And well, that was the scariest part there, that he gave this bone-chilling laugh, kind of like in the movie. But it's just a bone chilling laugh, and the voice just changed. He told me his name. I know I'm not supposed to say demon's name. That's why I will not share it in the story. But he told me his name, a name I've never even heard about, never ever in my life. And whenever he did that, well, that thing did that, I just left running out of that room, and I went to my grandma. Well, whenever I woke up the next day like normal, but the scary part about it was that the next day, you know, I still remember the dream, and I went ahead and Googled. I didn't put the demon's name at all. And like I said, I've never heard of that name before. And all I did was I put on in Google common demon names. And the scariest part of it all was just that name was the first one that ever popped up. And honestly, I have never even Googled demon names before in the past. So that's my story there. I have a few more to share. Right now I'm birthday in July 7th, 2015. I'm going from the back to the forth for Stitcher. I am a subscriber. Thanks for your story. Thanks for your podcast, sorry. And I really love the show. Thank you. Bye.
There's some things that you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And if something comes to you in a dream and you find out that it's real, it's more than a dream.
That's a good example right there of where we talk about dream stories on the show. And I always say, you know, it needs to like somewhat connect to reality as far as, you know, something beyond it that you did not have knowledge of. And then you can claim it. There's more to it than just being a spooky dream. And that would be a good example.
Right.
And connecting something like that you have no prior knowledge of, you're not, you know, there's a lot of things that we can pick up if we're, you know, just passively looking at something and it may come back in our subconscious, but it'd be rather difficult to pick that one up.
Yeah, that's not something you just see day to day.
No.
You know, exactly. You've got to go hunting for that.
Exactly. And for that to be the first one that pops up, that's really creepy. So thank you for sharing that experience and that story with us. Really do appreciate that. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Let's get another caller. Hi.
Hey guys, my name is Jamie. I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Big fan of the program. Been listening for several months now, and actually now that I do almost all my work out of my car, I've found myself the last 3 or 4 weeks just listening to all your back catalog, and it's like I said, it's been really good. I have a couple different stories. I'm gonna kind of start them out. Like I said, I'm gonna do 3 7-minute calls, but this one is kind of the darker things that I've seen in my life, just another almost like demonic kind of story. When I was, I think we lived there from the time I was about 3 to 6, at this house in Texas where I'm from. It was an old farmhouse. I was always under the impression that it was built around the turn of the last century, and it, like I said, it was just a creepy old farmhouse. I remember that everything in it was super low. Like, everything was built for somebody that was really short. The previous owner, I guess, had been a small man and had built most of the house himself. And everything was kind of great for when you're a small child. Everything was easier to access. And it was just always just dark feeling in the house. My mom would always claim to see shadows, and I remember as when I was at that age, we all made me take naps, and my older two siblings were in school, and I hadn't been yet, and my mom was at home with me, and she would actually make me take a nap. Like, we'd share a bed so she can get a nap too, they had this great old water bed in the early 90s like it was, and she would doze off, and a lot of times I'd be playing there or trying to fight sleep. And I remember seeing small shadows kind of run around, and didn't seem to be anything harmful. I remember there was one bedroom that I ended up, my brothers and I shared a three-bedroom house, if I remember correctly. And for a while, we shared a room, all three of us, while my grandma stayed with us. My grandma was a paranoid schizophrenic, so... you know, even if she wasn't, like, when you try to force some medicine that she was on, you know, she would have this kind of negative vibe to her because she thought everyone was out to get her, being, you know, the paranoid side of things. And sometime after she had left to either go live with another relative or one of her times being put in, like, a care facility, I remember sleeping in this room and going to bed one night, and either, I don't think this really happened, I really think this was a dream, but it was so dark that, you know, I couldn't honestly tell you which was which. And laying in the bed, there was an access to the attic where you could push up the little panel, and you'd have to get a ladder and climb up there. And I remember laying in bed, and and either with this dream or really happening, I'm not sure. But the panel opening, and three dark things. I don't know what to say. I don't remember them having features. I just remember two to three. Like, to me, I thought they were like widgets, you know, because of that time frame of my life and the age, you know, I knew what a witch was, the pointy hat, in my young child mind, that's what I thought of. It was just three dark witches. And I remember, just hiding, you know, and then talking to my brothers that they, you know, would make up whatever they had, like, this is what, they thought it was. Well, what really freaked me out was my two older brothers were in Cub Scouts, and being an old farmhouse, you know, there wasn't a whole lot around it at the time, and it was dark. It was always dark outside there at night, and you could get a really good shot of the stars. So their Cub Scout pack had come out one evening on like a weekend night to do a someone brought this very large telescope out there to do this little thing with the kids where they could look at the stars. And me and another child that was about my age that weren't old enough to be in Cub Scout were playing inside the house. And we were in the living room, and my dad's family were very, I guess, practicing, very strong practicing Catholic, and we have crucifixes everywhere. And there's a crucifix at the top of the vaulted ceiling in the living room. And I remember sitting in there, and we start hearing this noise, and we look up to where this crucifix is at the top of the wall kind of near the vaulted ceiling. And it starts moving to the point where, like, to me, I don't know, I don't think it actually spun, but it moved in a very violent manner, like, not fall, but physically shook. To the point where me and this other child took off running out the front door to where everyone was. And I specifically remember grabbing on the first pair of legs that I saw, and the woman telling me she wasn't my mom, and this kind of had to be comforted by it. It was just sort of like, I just really, my dad had, after my parents would have eventually moved, his wife at the time, her oldest daddy, was married to a guy, and they had a young child, and I guess he had lost his job, and it was a really tough time for the economy, lost his job, was laid off, his heart started doing drugs and alcohol again, and one night got really, I don't know if he was high or what the deal was, ended up killing his wife, and shooting their son, in the face, and then killing himself. Well, turns out the little boy pretty much took a 38 slug to his forehead, and somehow by, the grace of God, this thing ricocheted, and it didn't kill him. But, he wasn't found for another day or so later when, his uncle came by to find out where they were at, and knocked on the door, and finally the little boy, just covered in blood, came to the door, and opened the door for his uncle. And as the police were called, ambulance, everything, my dad told me a story of when the little boy, who had to be 4 or 5 at the time, in that about day's time, as he was laying there after watching his parents die and himself, almost die, said that he witnessed what he told my dad was he witnessed the pig man and the goat man take daddy away. And I'm getting chills. I always get chills telling the story, because obviously with you know, with the head trauma that happened to him, as well as, you know, in this, like, state of half alive, half dead, did he really see, like, a demonic force take his father, you know, to hell or whatever? And I have no idea how to, you know, when you hear that story, just take it as you, as it is. You know, you can say child's imagination, you can say head trauma. You know, I do believe in hell. I do believe in demons. And I hate to say, I think that's what it was. Because though, if you think of Goatman and Pigman, you know, that's the most common thing, which you kind of hear of demons looking like ghost pigs. And so those are my stories. I got some more coming. I hope you're here this soon on, you know, on the podcast. And the other ones will be coming soon. You know, have a good day.
Okay, could it be because of the boy's head trauma? Yes. But could it also be because of his near-death experience?
I would say yeah.
Yeah.
To the near-death experience.
I mean, that's interesting to hallucinate if that's all it was.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, obviously, hallucinations can be pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take, you know, almost any, you know, shape or form. But the way that all went down, I could see it being something a little bit more as far as, you know, he got a little bit too close to the other side. And as we know all too often with so many stories, as folks get very close to the other side, they come back. And then that other side, there's a window that's open.
Yeah.
So I could very much see that being part of the case in that story. Thank you for sharing those experiences with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. This is Krizia from the Bay Area. I just tried telling my story, but got interrupted by one of my roommates. Anyways, so just a bit of background. I used to be really sensitive when I was younger, not so much more as an adult. The last memorable experience that I have took place when I was maybe 21 or 22, but the story that I want to tell happened to me when I was 12. And so definitely after 12, I haven't experienced too much. So I was living in a one-bedroom apartment with my mom in Pacifica. And the layout of the apartment is really important to the story. So if you can sort of imagine a big square divided into four equal symmetrical squares. So if you enter from the front door, there's a long hallway that goes all the way down, right? And immediately to the left is the living room, and on the right is the bedroom. And if you keep going a little bit further down, on the left is the kitchen, and on the right is the bathroom. So essentially, if you're in the bathroom and you leave the door open, as a lot of us living at home do, you could see into the kitchen and the dining room. And the dining room is super small. You know, it's just me and my mom there, so we don't need much, right? And so since the kitchen and the living room are adjacent to each other, they're separated by a small wall. So they're not completely cut off from each other. Essentially, you could go into the kitchen from the living room or into the living room from the kitchen on either side of this wall. So so since I was 12, my mom had this huge old TV, and she got it like before I was born. And it came with this really huge, big, bulky, funky remote that had a whole bunch of cool features on it. Like you could zoom in, you could zoom out, you could watch two shows at a time. Not all of the features worked. As I said, it was really old. But it was really cool. And so sometimes when I would be watching TV, the TV would just turn off by itself. And of course, you know, me being the jokester that I am, I tell my mom, ooh, it's a ghost. And she's like, no, that TV is really old. So I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is really old. And sometimes, you know, when the TV would turn off by itself, I could turn it back on using the remote, but not all the time. Sometimes I have to turn it back on by actually walking up to the TV and turning it on with my finger. And so because of that inconsistency, I was okay accepting the idea that it was just a really old, funky TV and an old, funky remote. So some of the other activity that happened, too, was the light in the living room would turn off by itself sometimes. And this light, it was a lamp. So it wasn't a light switch that we would turn on and off. It was a lamp that we actually had to walk up to turn it on. And it would turn off by itself. And then after a while, it would turn back on. And because the lamp and the TV were in the same area of the house, they were connected to the same power strip on the same wall, you know, we choked it up to be something wrong with the electricity there in that area. So we lived in this apartment for about 2 years, and, you know, things happened slowly at first, spaced out, and then they would happen more closer together and more frequently. And one time I was home alone, and my mom asked me to put the dishes away from the dishwasher. So, you know, I'm doing my chores, and from the corner of my eye in the dining room, I see this, it's like a beige flash. And if you can imagine, like when you're watching a cartoon movie and the cartoon character runs super fast and there's this trail of color behind the cartoon just to show that they dashed out of there, right? So essentially that's what I saw. It was like a trail of beige color. And right on top of it was like a little bit of darker brown. And so this thing that I saw, let's see, I was 12, so I was about 5'2", and this thing that I saw was shorter than me. It was like maybe 4 feet tall, and the way that I described it to my mom back then was that it was like kind of like the color of skin with maybe like brown hair on top. And what's really funky is that little area, right, between the kitchen and the dining room and the living room was where the most activity happened, because we still had a landline back then. We had a cordless phone, but it was still a landline, and my mom had a cell phone at that time too. But from either phone, if you stood in that area, you could not make a phone call. Phone calls wouldn't come in, or if you were on the phone, your calls would drop. One time my mom was hanging out in the living room with her boyfriend. I wasn't home. And he saw something in the same area right there, like right in that little niche between the living room and the kitchen, like right where the dining room was. And he asked my mom if it was me. He thought it was me. But my mom told him, no, she's not home. What did you see? Because Crazio saw something too. And, of course, he's a skeptic. He doesn't believe in this kind of stuff. So, you know, he let it go. But my mom was a little bit more suspicious about it. But, you know, all in all, these were not scary experiences. I wasn't scared. I was questioning about it. You know, I was skeptic about what was going on, but... You know, we find rational explanations for anything, right? So that's what I did. But it wasn't really scary. It kind of creeped me out, but it wasn't... I didn't feel any sort of sense of evil or negativity. So one night, my mom and I are in the living room watching TV, and again, the light goes off. And then it turns back on. And her and I just kind of look at each other like, this is getting kind of weird. We don't say anything, but we just kind of communicate with our facial expressions that this shit's starting to get weird. And so that night, we're laying in our beds in the bedroom. I had my own bed. She had her own bed. And we're just, you know, chatting before we turn the lights off and before we go to bed. And then the light in the bedroom turns off by itself. And I immediately got scared because this had never happened before. All the activity always happened in the living room. And it was with that lamp that was next to that really old TV. And so that was explainable. It's something wrong with the electric because those two things are attached to the same wall. But now that it jumped into the bedroom, that was really scary. So I automatically just dashed from my bed and hop into my mom's bed, and we get under the covers and we start praying. And my mom is praying that whatever this thing is, God, please just let it be good. Don't let it be evil. And so after that, my mom, we had a friend of a family friend who was a medium, and she told my mom that it was a little boy. And because I was a little girl, he wanted to play with me. And, you know, I mean, I was 12, so I was a preteen. I wasn't a child anymore. So I felt kind of weird about that, you know, knowing that there was a little boy who wanted to play with me, especially, like, when I would shower, because you could see the kitchen from the bathroom, and I kind of just started closing the door every time I was in the bathroom, because just looking into that area just kind of creeped me out, knowing that there was a little boy there. So, you know, I wonder if any other tenants that have lived there or who even live there now experienced that little boy. The medium told us that if we wanted to keep him happy, to just keep candy in the house. He wasn't an evil spirit, but he was a playful one. And so, you know, it's a single bedroom apartment, so I don't think many kids live there. You know, single-bedroom apartments are usually rented out to single adults or adult couples. But I don't know. Maybe because I was younger and a kid, you know, having a kid living there maybe triggered this little boy to want to come out and play. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about that. It was definitely creepy. But I'm really happy that it wasn't anything evil or dangerous, for that matter. Thanks for the show, guys. I really enjoy listening to you guys on Spotify. I'm trying to catch up to all the episodes that you guys have put out since December 2015. Hope to become an EPP soon. I'm a very starving student at the moment, so once my funds increase, I'll consider becoming an EPP. All right, thanks, guys. I hope you play the show on a near time in the future. Thanks. Bye.
I think something that she needs to think about is just kind of examining the place. It's a one-bedroom apartment, and normally, what was it before it was that?
Yeah.
It's not always just like what it recently has been, and I say recent, like the last 30, 40 years. You know, what was there beforehand? What was all that? Because you never know how far back this could go.
I don't know. The way it just made everybody so uncomfortable, it sounds like something more than just a child spirit.
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe that the medium's completely accurate on that.
Do you think, does it depend on the ability of the medium as far as how accurate they're going to be? Like, could they be essentially fooled by whatever it is if they're not aware that maybe it's something a little deeper than just, oh, it appears like a little boy to the medium, but really it's something else?
It's a skill like anything else.
Sure.
It's not a learned skill. It's an inherited skill, but it's still something you have to hone in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can believe some people just aren't as, I don't know, their skill's not as sharp as others.
Sure.
So I don't know. And I don't think the leaving candy out is a good idea either, because that just, you know, that really encourages more activity.
Mm-hmm.
With whatever it is.
And you don't really know for sure what it is
yeah.
you're dealing with there. So, Creepy story.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for listening to our show and calling in with that. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode. If you like the show, as I always say, please become an EPP. Extra podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes. $5 a month is all it is. It's like the cost of a cup of coffee. And you get all the bonus episodes, almost 100 of them now for you. Exclusive video content and a whole lot more that we continue to put out there for our EPP. So sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com, and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.